Let's open a word of prayer at this time. Father, we do ask that you would open up our eyes and our ears this morning. That, Father, we need to hear from you this morning, to know that we have been in your presence and to know that you are in this place. And Lord, we ask that you would graciously come and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's review now where we've been in the last 2 weeks. How to Listen to God, Part 3. The first week, we looked at the problem. It's found in verse 9 and verse 12. The problem with the nation of Israel is there was a strange God among them. They were not listening to Jehovah God, but they were listening to other voices. And you and I live in a world that is full of voices. And the question is who are we listening to? The problem with the nation of Israel, they had a strange God among them, and they were not listening to God. Problem number two was that they had a stubborn heart, and they were walking after their own counsel. In order for us to hear from God, God's going to have to conquer our stubborn hearts. And that's going to take the grace of God, because we all have stubborn hearts. Then last week, we looked at how does God speak to us today. First and foremost, and primarily, God speaks to us through His Word. If you want to hear what God is saying, we need to read the Scriptures. So God speaks to us today, first and foremost, primarily through His Word. Second, God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And sometimes you may be sitting there watching television, and the Holy Spirit may prompt you and say, just turn the TV off and open up the Word and read it. Or you might be sitting in your living room, and the Holy Spirit may prompt you to just go into your bedroom, get on your knees, and pray. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He prompts us. He speaks to us. He may prompt you to pick up the phone and call somebody that wasn't in your Sunday school class and share with them, I missed you. Or He may prompt you to bake a cake and bring it over to your neighbor's house and let them know about the love of Christ. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit in your life? Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. We need to be careful here. We need to be discerning here. But sometimes God speaks to us through other people. So we need to listen to what people are saying around us. The people who love us and care for us and who are praying for us. Brothers and sisters in Christ who know the mind of God and the will of God. We ought to be listening to what other people are saying. You remember Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, gave him some advice, and he listened and he benefited from it. And so did the children of Israel. Sometimes God speaks to us through our circumstances. Sometimes through our failures. Sometimes through our disappointment. Sometimes through a tragedy. Sometimes through a success. But God is speaking to us through our circumstances. So think about where you are this morning and what's going on in your life, and begin to ask yourself, what is God saying to me in my circumstances? And last but not least, He speaks to us through His Son. We read from Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. And this is what Hebrews 1, 1 says. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son. That should encourage you. God can speak to us in a variety of different ways. And He did in the Old Testament, and He does today. But primarily, He speaks to us through His Son. You want to hear God speak? Go to the Gospels and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. God is speaking to us through his Son. That we are lost, that we are sinful, and that we need a Savior, and that Jesus Christ came into this world to redeem us and to save us and to die on the cross for our sins and to bore the wrath of God for us so we could have eternal life. So God speaks to us through these five means. God is a person. He speaks. He is not silent. He is a person to be listened to be obeyed, to be enjoyed, to be worshipped. The God of the Bible speaks because he wants to connect with us. Now, let's turn on our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. Eli was the high priest that year. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions. God hasn't spoken for a long time. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." I want you to notice Samuel's response. He says, "Speak, for your servant hears." Not, "God, I've got something I want to say to you. I've got something on my mind I want to talk to you about." Sometimes that's the way we approach God. "God, are you listening to me?" But that's not what Samuel said. Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." "Lord, speak. I'm ready to listen to what you have to say." Isn't that a beautiful response to the Lord? Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God. Did you notice that? Eli said to him, he finally discerned that maybe God's speaking to Samuel, and Eli said, "If he speaks to you one more time, this is how I want you to answer him. Speak, for your servant hears." If you and I are going to be men and women of God, we must learn to listen to God. So here's my question for today. Are you listening to God? Point number one, are you listening to God actively? Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." If we're going to hear God speak, we must be actively listening to him in his word. Here in Colossians, he's saying, let the word of God or the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are you actively listening to God through his word? Are you reading his word every day? You're not going to hear from God if you're not actively reading his word. David Miller and Eric, his driver, made a covenant with each other this last year. They covenanted with one another that they were going to read 12 chapters a day. And if they did that, they would be able to read through the Bible twice in 1 year. I was talking to a man on the phone this week, and he said, I went home from church, and I sat down on the couch, and I read the Bible for 2 hours. When was the last time you sat down on the couch and read the Word of God for 2 hours? If we're going to listen to God, we must be actively reading His Word, meditating on His Word, searching His Word out, digesting His Word, applying His Word to our lives. We want the whole counsel of God. We have a tendency to go to our favorite passages of Scripture, but you need to read all of the Bible to get the full counsel of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So are you actively reading God's Word? You remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness and Satan was trying to trip him and to get him to commit a sin? You remember that 3 times Jesus said to Satan, it is written. His authority for getting out of sin and temptation was, it is written. Did you know all 3 of those quotes were found in the book of Deuteronomy? How would your spiritual life be if you were totally dependent upon the book of Deuteronomy this morning to save your life? So if we're going to hear God, we're going to have to be actively reading His Word. Point number 2, if we're going to be listening to God, if we're going to hear God speak, we must be patient. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Sometimes God does not answer us instantaneously. We live in an instant society. We want answers now. We get on our knees and we expect God to answer our prayer before we get off our knees. We're so used to everything being so instant in our society. You pull into McDonald's, you place your order, you pull another 20 feet, you pay the man, you pull another 20 feet, you got your lunch, and off you go. We got microwaves to speed up the process of food being baked or cooked. We've got cell phones. We've got instant communication. We want everything to be snap, snap, snap. And God doesn't jump when we snap. So are you listening patiently? Because God doesn't always answer right away. You've probably noticed that. When God doesn't answer right away, it's not that He's forgot our prayer. It's not that God's ignoring us. It may be that God knows we can't hear what He has to say at this point. He may have to grow us a little bit before we can really hear what He has to say. Haven't you done this as a parent? You've got a 3-year-old, and he asks you a question, and you know if you give him a straight answer, it could hurt him. He doesn't understand the world in which he lives. And as a parent, you want to be wise in what you share with a child that's 2 or 3 years old. And so you realize, I've got to wait before I give them a full revelation of what's going on here. Sometimes God has to wait because we're not ready to hear what He has to say. So if you're going to listen to God, we need to listen actively, reading His Word. We've also got to be patiently waiting on the Lord. Point number 3, quietly. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Psalm 62:5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. If we're going to listen to God, sometimes we need to be quiet. This is why sometimes people go away into the mountains or to the desert or to a monastery, because you don't have all that competition from the world where you can get away and hear God speak. Now in the morning you might get up and find that the kitchen table, before anybody else gets up, is your quiet time with the Lord. Or it may be late at night when everybody else has gone to bed. But you need to have a quiet time to listen to God. I have found personally, Saturday nights is sort of my downtime. I do not want to go anywhere. I don't want to go places. I don't want to turn on the TV. Because I find if I watch a movie late at night before I have to get up and preach the next morning, I cannot think right. My communication with God has just been jammed with the world. And I love a good movie, but I've learned I can't do that on Saturday night. I like to stay home and just have a quiet evening and prepare for Sunday morning. If you're going to hear God speak, you're going to have some quiet times with God. Get alone with Him and allow Him to speak. And we're going to have to be quiet. Sometimes when we pray, we just get on our knees and we give God our request, and then we get up and we've never just knelt there listening to Him. Fourth, let's go to our fourth point. Openly. If we're going to hear God speak, we're going to have to be open to what God would have to say to us. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. You understand what this verse is saying? All Scripture has been breathed out by the very mouth of God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. If we're going to listen to God, we're going to have to be open to what He's saying to us. And first of all, when the Bible comes to us, it gives us teaching, sound doctrine. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God has created everything. This is His world. The Bible gives us teaching to structure our lives. And God's word sometimes is going to contradict the teaching of the world. And so are you open this morning to what God is saying to you in His word? He's given us truth to live by. If your thinking is correct, your living will be correct. If your thinking's all messed up, your life and your behavior will be all messed up. So are you open to God's teaching? As Christians, we want to go where this book goes and stop where this book stops. We're not here to listen to our denomination. We're not here to listen necessarily to pastors on the radio. We need to examine everything by this book and say, is it in here? Does the Bible teach this? Is it true? Sometimes the Word of God reproves us. It rebukes us. The Bible tells us when you've stepped out of bounds, you can't go there. You're in the wrong place. You need to be over here. So are you open this morning to having the Bible reprove you? It's like an umpire. It calls strikes and balls, safe and out. So are you open this morning to being reproved by the Lord when you're out of bounds? Are you open this morning to having the Scriptures correct you? This word in the Greek, to correct, is found only one time in the New Testament. It's right here in 2 Timothy 3:16. And really what it means is to restore to your original condition. Something has fallen over and you need to pick it up and put it back in its original position. Somebody is walking along and they stumbled and they fell, and you go over there and you pick them up and you get them on their feet again. That's what the Word of God does. We have stumbled and it comes along and it picks us up and corrects us. Are you open, being corrected this morning by the Word of God? Did you know that sin is deceitful and it will fool you? A young girl, 15, 16 years old, hears a voice that says, abortion is the only option. It's the only way to keep my life on track. Nobody will know. Can't tell mom and dad. And I could just go down to the clinic, and it's just a simple procedure, just like getting your tooth pulled, and nobody will know. It's just our little secret. Or you hear a voice say, you know what? You've got to pass this test in order to get your bachelor's degree. And did you know in most colleges and universities, if you got enough money, you could probably buy to get the test so you could cheat? They're out there. All you got to do is come up with the money. Or you hear a voice say to you, yeah, I understand and I see what's going on in this business, this company, and they're doing some things that's not ethical, but if I speak up, I could lose my job and this economy's tough and I don't want to do that. And so you compromise your position in the business and you turn a blind eye to what's going on. Sin's deceitful. We need to hear God speak and we need to have God's Spirit open our eyes to what He's saying to us. So are you open this morning to what God is saying? Because He may correct you. He may rebuke you and say you're out of bounds. You ever been deceived? You ever get fooled? I remember the first time, it was the first Christmas Eve that Myers had opened here in Elgin. And Rit had gotten a job at Myers, and it was Christmas Eve, and I went over there about 11:30 at night to pick him up because he couldn't drive. And they made this announcement on the intercom. It was Christmas Eve, and they said, if you will wait here until midnight, we're going to be giving away a free gift. And I said, oh, this could be exciting. You know, my mind starts thinking, it's Christmas Eve, the first time, a grand opening of Myers in the Elgin area. Maybe they're going to give away color TV or something, you know. And my mind just started thinking, and that old covetousness and materialism started sitting in. I thought, what's this gift going to be? This could be in the courier that Myers gave away this or that. And Rit got off of his shift, and he said, Uncle, let's go home. And I was like, no, I want to stay, and let's hear what he said. They've been doing that all day long. It's nothing. Let's go home. I said, no, let's see. This could be something good. At midnight, a guy comes out, and there's about 50 people around standing there, and he comes out, and he's selling a magic mop. And you get a free gift if you buy this magic mop. And the free gift is this magic towel that will clean up everything. I didn't listen to Rit. He said, it's been going on all day long, Uncle. Let's go home. I said, oh, no, I won't stay here. Sin does that. It deceives us, and we need the Word of God to correct us. So are you open to what God is saying to you this morning? We also need to listen to God. Let's go to the fifth point, attentively. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Are you listening to God attentively? Are you alert? Do you know what's going on around you? Because if you're not careful, you can drift away. Paul and I got married, and we went on our honeymoon to Hawaii, and we were on the Waikiki Beach, and we got us one of these floating rafts, and we were just laying there on the Waikiki Beach floating and talking. It was a beautiful day, and pretty soon we had drifted a long, long way from shore. When I looked up and the shore was way far away and we had drifted way out into the ocean, I became very nervous. My wife can swim like a fish. She grew up along the Mekong River, but I can just barely survive. And when the land was way out there, I got nervous because the only thing holding me up is this little inner tube. But so often in life, if we're not paying attention spiritually, we just sort of drift. And it happens so slowly, we don't even know what happened. And pretty soon, we're a long way from where we should be. So are you listening to God attentively? Let's go to the sixth point. Carefully. Are you listening to the Word of God carefully? In Acts 17:11, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Paul and Silas is on a missionary journey, and they share the gospel with the Bereans. And they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. We need to listen to God carefully. Paul and Silas had shared the gospel with these people at Berean, and they didn't just suck it in as a sponge. They went to the Old Testament and says, is Jesus really the Messiah? Does the scriptures teach this? And they searched the scriptures carefully to make sure that what Paul was teaching lined up with the word of God. So we need to be very careful. Are you listening to God carefully? Are you opening up the Bible and examining everything? When you go to Bible conferences, when somebody stands up and preach, you don't need to just suck it all in like a sponge. You need to examine it and say, is that what the Word of God teaches? Because there's a lot of religious stuff and traditions of denominations that's simply not in that book, folks. It's tradition. So we need to go back and find out what does the Word really say and be very careful at what we embrace as truth. Let's go to the last point, submissively. Are you listening to the Word God submissively? Matthew 26:39. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the scriptures tell us three times he prayed, Father, if there is any other way to redeem mankind, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Are you willing to submit your life to the Word of God? God knows we're going to struggle. If you're a Christian and you still have sin in your life, you've still got tension in your life. Sin and tension go together. So are you willing this morning to submit to God? God knows we're going to struggle here. Even the Son of God struggled here. He said, if there's any other way, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He never sinned. He always said the Father's will to be done. And the question is, you and me, are we listening submissively to God this morning and saying, your will be done, not mine? You remember the Apostle Paul? He had a thorn in his flesh. Three times he asked the Lord to remove it. We don't know what it was, but there was something that was bothering Paul. It troubled him. The scripture says it was a messenger of Satan sent there as a thorn in his flesh. And Paul pleaded three times, Lord, remove this. And God said, no, I'm going to keep it there. Because it's going to bring you to weakness, Paul, and you're going to see my grace is sufficient in the midst of your weakness. So are you listening to God this morning? Are you listening to God actively? Are you listening to God patiently? Are you listening to God quietly? Are you listening to God openly? Are you listening to God attentively? Are you listening to God carefully? And are you listening to God submissively? You're submitting yourself to the will of God and say, thy will be done, not mine. Let's go, Lord, in prayer at this time.
Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And Lord, that you do want to communicate with us and that we can know you and walk with you. And Father, I just thank you this morning for your word and just pray that it would just be more and more precious to each and every one of us here today. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.